3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and on Fridays 7 to 9. So don't forget that, okay? That's another thing you should write down, and be here, because you're going to be sitting in the presence of the Lord. It's so beautiful. And you know what? Brother Rich is not opening the prayer room to the outside yet. He will soon, but right now it's our time. It's our time to bathe in his presence, but also we're anointing that room. We're preparing it. Amen. We're praying as we're sitting there. We're visualizing people from all over coming and getting word. I when I sit there, I see healings taking place. I see supernatural things. So let's cultivate the ground when we come here and just get it ready. Amen?
Amen.
Also, I want to mention, I didn't know Denise would be here today, but I did want to mention, and I am going to mention anyway, Denise Spinos. She has recorded a beautiful album. This woman is so blessed, gifts with gifts. And the album is, I listen to it and I smile, besides giving glory to God. But she wrote the songs, and she's so clever. She is so clever. I would say purchase an album. Let us bless her and build her up in her gifts, her ministry. You have to get an album from your sister, okay? I have one, and I put it on, and I go. I'm in my prayer room upstairs, and it's playing. I'm doing things, or I'm just sitting still, and I'm enjoying it. I'm telling you, you will too. Okay, missions now? You want to do that? Okay. And then I'll just speak a word about...
Just having a little conversation up here. Just give us a minute.
Hey, while you're having that conversation.
Ziti, some meat and a little sausage. Praise God. Today is also the first Sunday of the month. You see, in a little while, we're going to share communion, but it's also a mission Sunday. You know, probably missions, more than ever, is probably so difficult today. Not only because of the atmosphere in society that these missionaries have to work through, but also because of the conditions of society. Come on, you've seen the help wanted signs, the prices going crazy, the shortages of everything. So everything is becoming more and more difficult for them. And I know, because I've been in contact with many of them, that they're even losing much of their support from back home because of churches dwindling, churches closing, other ministries closing. So it's more important than ever to give to missions. You know, we've been faithful because you've been faithful throughout all the years to always keep every single commitment that we've made. We've never had to contact them and say, hey, you know what, we're a little short this month. We're not going to be able to send you the check. No, the check goes out anyway. We'll work it out some other way. Amen? So we're going to come on down, guys. We're going to receive, once a month we receive a special offering. You're free to give any time during the month. All you have to do is mark your envelope or anything. But we always like to take one specific offering for missions on the first Sunday of the month. So, Father, first of all, I thank you for all those men and women, those brothers and sisters, Father, even with their families and their children that are out there on the mission field, dedicating their lives, sacrificing, and doing without so many of the creature comforts of home and the familiarity of home, Father, whether they're abroad or they're even home within the here within the country, Lord. I thank you for their dedication and the calling upon their lives. And, Father, each and every one of us can go, but we can give to help support them, to help it make it a little bit easier for them, not only with our finances but also with our prayers, to cover them in prayer, especially at this time of what's going on in the world. So as we receive this offering, Father, bless it, multiply it, anoint it, Father, and as we send it forth, may it bear much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Pastor, there's one other announcement. Your anniversary.
Oh.
You guys are celebrating. Oh, yeah. Not many get to celebrate the anniversaries that you're celebrating. And we'd like to take a moment to pray for you, but also to let you know that there's a cake in the cafe.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We're going to make you do the dance
okay.
and everything.
All right. You know, we're at that point now when we go to weddings and they have all the married couples come up on the dance floor, and we're the last ones standing. You know, after they say after 5 years, after 10 years, after 20 years, sit down. We were just at one recently, and as soon as they just said, you know, would all the married couples join us on the dance floor? We didn't know they were going to do that, and we went up with everybody else. And then as soon as he started, we looked at each other. He said, here we go again. We're going to be the last ones up here. Because we're coming up on 54 years. This week. So, praise God. Talk about God's keeping power. How this woman put up with me for 54 years is a testimony in itself. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Let's see. What are we doing here now? We're going to give you guys an opportunity to share in just a little bit. But you know what, Mike? You can start recording because I want to be able to record even the testimonies that are shared. But before we do that, I'd like to lay just a little bit of groundwork. Mine? Oh, how we got saved. We don't want to hear the testimony of how your neighbor Lucy down the block, you know, got in a car accident and God, you know, helped her out. That's beautiful. Powerful, good testimony. But we're going to give you an opportunity. We want to hear how God intervened in your life, came in like a flood, perhaps, and just changed your life, and you ended up coming to know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I want to just look up something. Well, you know what, Mike? Can you, that portion of Scripture I asked you to put up, can you put that up? There it is. You know, there's a portion of Scripture, this portion of Scripture in Revelation. It can be very confusing. You know, Revelation in itself can be very confusing. Revelation can be very figurative, very metaphorical, okay, sometimes literal. So when you read it, you really have to sometimes read it over and over again. But this is an account of something that took place. And it's recorded in the book of Revelation. Let's just read through it. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. That's the same one. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. See if you can get the next one. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. You know what? You know what, Mike? It's not going to work that way. You try to use these new props and things, it just ain't going to happen. First of all, that's the King James Version. The New King James Version makes it much clearer. Okay, it's more in our language. So I'm going to read it to you. It says, a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Now here, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now, I've read this several times, and I was trying to figure out. At first, when I read, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, at first I thought he was talking about Michael and his angels battling with Satan. That was the first thing I figured. But then I said, as I read it over and over again, you see, the scene changes from that battle. And then it says, now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren, who had now been cast down to the earth, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And the they it's referring to is not Michael and his angels. It's referring to the brethren. I believe it's referring to the original apostles and disciples and those men of God who were here with the Lord. And it says, and they overcame him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, they would do anything and did anything, even if it cost them their life. Now, the first thing that I realized, when I've quoted this portion of Scripture many times, it says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And I always thought it said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of their testimony. And I realized that it doesn't say the power of their testimony. It says the word of their testimony. Okay, there's a difference. Now, our testimonies have power. There's no doubt about it, that our testimonies have power. But that power is not released unless we use the word to share it. If we don't share our testimony, no matter how powerful it might be, it has no effect on those we are with or perhaps witnessing to. You follow what I'm saying? Some people have very powerful testimonies because there are people, and I've heard the testimonies, we've been in company of those who have come to the Lord and have come out of lives that are unbelievable. I mean, we've actually had people who are murderers. They could have been rapists. They were unfaithful. They had all kinds of addictions and vices and whatever. And they come to the Lord and they're set free. And they're on fire for God. That's a powerful testimony. And, you know, I've always kind of, I only realized it this morning, as a matter of fact. I've always kind of felt bad because I don't have a powerful testimony. I wasn't this horrific guy. I was just an ordinary young guy going about my business. I didn't have any real vices. I wasn't out there committing crimes, and I didn't have any addictions. And I sowed my oats. But basically, I was just an ordinary guy. And one day, after being taunted and haunted by our family to come to a Bible study, which we really didn't want to go to, but reluctantly went just to say, okay, nice for you, leave us alone now, we accepted the Lord. And my life changed from that day forward, but it didn't change. I didn't give up gambling. I didn't give up drugs. I didn't give up carousing around. And there really wasn't any tremendous major change in my life. And I've always said, gee, when I hear people, they share their testimonies, I feel kind of guilty that I don't have this powerful testimony to share. But only this morning, as I was thinking about it, you know what God reminded me of? He showed me in my thoughts and my prayers. He says, I called you almost 50 years ago now. And you've just done what I've asked you to do. And believe me, I'm saying this in all humility. I gave up my hopes and dreams and plans of what I wanted to do to serve the Lord. And he has sustained me and kept me for almost 50 years ago now. And I say, wow, that's a powerful testimony. I've seen people fall by the wayside. I've seen big shots up there that are no longer up there anymore. But his keeping power is unbelievable. And it's when you share. See, now, to me, that's a power. He revealed that to me. That's powerful this morning. If I didn't share it with you, the word of my testimony, it would have no power at all. See, so when they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, these apostles, these disciples, they didn't hold back. Look at Stephen as they were stoning him and whatever. They didn't hold back. They kept preaching and teaching and standing on their Christ and who they are and who he was and what he did. Whether they were about to cut off their heads, hang them upside down, crucify them, didn't matter. Their lives weren't as important as the word of their testimony. And the very fact is how we came to know, when we attended that Bible study that we reluctantly went to, and we're sitting there, and I can remember like it was yesterday, even though it's 50 years ago, just saying, when is this going to be over? When are they going to bring out the cake and coffee? You know? But this guy got up. Not the man who was going to preach the Bible study that night, but somebody got up to give their testimony, which I didn't even know what it meant. What's a testimony? I thought it was something you do in court. But he got up to tell about what a creep he was, how unfaithful he was. And then he finally got the part about how he was unfaithful to his wife and how his wife, because she knew the Lord, forgave him, restored their marriage. And here he is sharing this in front of all of us strangers. We really were basically strangers. We all were saved. I wasn't even saved yet, but the rest of them were only saved for a matter of weeks. But the word of his testimony grabbed our hearts without us even realizing it. And what's the word I'm looking for? There's a song about it. It captivated our hearts without us even knowing it, that when the man of God got up and spoke, and I don't even remember what he spoke about. I think it was something from the book of Romans. No? Okay. The camels are coming. I don't know what he was talking about. The camels are coming. But anyway, when he then finally said, is there anyone here who would want to accept the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior? The both of us just stood up. We jumped up. And we kind of looked at each other like, what are you doing? And we gave our hearts to the Lord. Because of the word of this man's testimony, not the preacher, the word of that testimony, the power behind that word that came forth, changed our lives forever. And that's what each and every one of you have. You see, if you go out just to witness and you start with, well, you know, the word of God says this and the word of God says that and the word of God and God did this and God did that and Jesus did this. Anybody and his brother could say to you, hey, I don't believe your God. I don't believe your Bible. If they don't believe our Bible, you don't have a leg to stand on except your testimony. Nobody can argue with your testimony. When you say, this happened to me, they can't say, no, it didn't. They can't. Nobody can argue with your testimony. When you say, I was a bum, I was a creep, I was strung out on drugs, I was robbing and stealing and doing all of this, these horrible things, I was unfaithful to my wife, and then the Lord came in and he grabbed hold of my heart and changed me, they can't say, no, I don't believe you. It's the most powerful tool literally that we have. Because if a person dismisses the word of God, you have nothing else except your testimony and what God has done in your life. Amen? And he's given each and every one of you. No one is born saved. I don't care if you're born into a saved family. Sometimes that's the worst thing that can happen. You know, you have young kids growing up. They were born and raised in a born-again family. And they grow up just thinking they're born again. Well, my parents are. We are. You know, it's like the old saying. They say, you know, go sit out in your garage for a week. Doesn't make you a car. Just because you're born into a family of Christians and your parents are, doesn't make you. We all have to have our own experience. I realized it once many years ago in the earlier years of the school when we went up through eighth grade. And every day we had one of our classes, you know, you had math, science, language, you know, this and that. And we had Bible. We had a 40-minute period of Bible. Okay? Now, here was the thing. There were these eighth graders, and the teacher was out sick, and there was nobody to teach the Bible class that day. So here I was at the principal of the school, and we had nobody. I said, so I'll go in. I'll go in, and I'll teach the class. Now, I want you to understand, most of this class of eighth graders, my son was one of them, had been here since three-year-old preschool. So this is now 9 or 10 years of being in our school, having Bible taught to them every single day. The curriculum is a totally Christian curriculum. Chapel service every single week, okay? And I go in, and I'm not sure what to do because I'm not a teacher. But I'm going to do something with these kids for 40 minutes. So I figured, let me start off by asking them some questions. So I says, anybody have a question? Is there something you'd like to know? You've been in the school a long time. Is there a question any of you might have that maybe I can try and answer for you? You know what the first question is? How do we really know there is a God? I said, well, what? 11 years you've been here. Bible classes, curriculum, chapel services. You see, just because they were in a Christian school didn't make them a Christian. They never had the experience for themselves. Once you have that experience, as I'm sure each and every one of you can testify to, it changes your life. It's you're going this way, now all of a sudden you're going this way. It completely changes your life. So we want to give you this morning an opportunity. Like I said, I don't want to hear a testimony about something that happened, you know, to somebody else or whatever. What we want to hear is, how did God intervene in your life and save you, that changed your life, that you know that you know that you know, like the song, one of the first songs we sang, I will sing. Can you find out one of the first songs we sang? The words to that song, I will sing.
That was in the middle. We started with "You're Awesome in My Life," and I will sing.
There it is. That's the slide. Okay. Now, we're not all singers. I'm one of them that's not a singer. But it says, "I will sing." But you could say, "I will speak of," "I will share of," "I will testify of your great love. I'll stand in wonder of what you've done in this life, in my life, and my soul testifies. I will live and not die to declare what he's done." Amen?
Amen.
So is there anything else we want to? Come on up.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, if you meet somebody new, you ever feel in your heart like, I'm not sharing the Lord with anyone? I have a neighbor next door to me, and she's been in my house, and I have said maybe little things, but you know, you think about, what can I say to her? What can, you know, what I could say, a scripture. But when you think about it, tell the person your testimony. Pastor said they can't argue with that, and it will impact them. They probably will not forget it because it's exciting. And when you came to the Lord, you changed, your whole life changed. So that is what I feel, you know, the next time I'm with her, and then next door to her, a woman, she's a single woman, and another single woman just moved in, and she's also so sweet. I want to tell them my testimony. When I first moved into North Babylon, I was so on fire, and I was telling all my neighbors. My neighbor actually came in one day and said, everybody is saying that when you talk about God, it's, can I, what are you saying? So it was the power of the testimony. So if you don't know how to talk to somebody about God, tell them your personal testimony. They can't argue. It will impact them. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. So who wants to be the first to share their testimony and keep it, you know, 3 minutes maybe? Yeah, because you don't have to, we don't have to know what you were wearing and what the weather was like, you know, when you came to know the Lord. Okay? I never forget. That's how years ago, we asked for testimony. And the guy began on the way to the airport, flight 692. I had seat 23C. And also, don't spend 2.5 minutes of glorifying the enemy, the devil, and all the terrible things he brought upon your life, and then say, and then I went to a meeting and I accepted the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Who wants to be first? Hmm? Oh, yeah. Hmm? Good, good.
Yes. Hi. Well, mine happened. I grew up in the faith, but I was going to a church, Farmingdale Christian Church on Main Street, when I was a child. And it was just a simple act of obedience, and it was an invitation. And they said, who would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And they talked about sin, and I made an open confession, and I became saved about under 12 years old. But then in the recent years, I've had a deeper relationship with Christ, and it's been more activated. There you go.
Was there any one particular thing when you accepted the Lord at that moment, at that invitation, did you feel something change in your life?
Like excitement.
Excitement. Yeah. You felt the presence of God in your life.
It was
your life.
A choice, and I felt like I was doing the right thing.
Amen. Amen. See, he convicts you. He comes in. It captivates your heart, like I said. Somebody else. And Annette?
Well, when I was about 13, I had a godmother who would take me to church because she thought that was her job, to introduce me to things of God. Now, I came from a family that attended church. We all, my mother's sisters, my cousins, everybody, but we weren't saved. We knew God. We knew of God. And so when I was 13, I felt to go up to accept the Lord, but that wasn't really the introduction, that wasn't really it. It wasn't until I was 19 years old that I heard Billy Graham and his ministry. It was like, oh, no, you know, it was damnation, you know, all these different things he was preaching about. And so I felt, you need to open your heart to the Lord. And I was going on this trip. I was in college. I was at Suffolk Community. My English class went to New York City to go see a Shakespeare play or something. And I was afraid of tunnels. And I said, God, if you're really, really real, help me now because I'm scared. He made me feel like I was outside. This breeze. He made it like I was outside walking on a beach somewhere. And I said, I know. Now I know you're real. You're really real. And he changed things for me, and my life just changed. You know, even though I was not a goody two-shoes, but yeah, more or less like that, there was still a change in my life.
Amen. So you had a supernatural experience. Yes. He walked you through that tunnel.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on. No one else here is saved? No one here is saved?
I'll make it short. Okay. Number one, I was a very depressed type of person, a very negative person, so that's that. I went on a marriage encounter weekend, and I experienced something that I couldn't even explain, but it was the infilling of such great love. I didn't sleep for 3 days because of the great love that God put in my heart. And I just like to finish, because that is a supernatural experience. It was a very supernatural experience. I won't go into the details of things. And the only thing I would add to that is, since that time, even as a Catholic or whatever, I always fellowshipped. I always wanted to be with the people of God. And I thank God he's kept me. So from that supernatural experience, it was like yesterday. And that's how, whether it is in your life or not, you've got to know how much God truly loves us, you know? And he turned me around, and he made me into the person that he called me to be.
Amen. Amen. I don't know. I don't believe you, Barbara. I can't argue with it. You can't argue with that. What can you say to that? No, that didn't really happen. It happens. Amen. He changes. He captivates. I love that word. The Lord just gave that to me. He captivates our heart.
Thank you. I was raised in the Methodist Church from little in Sunday school, and my mother was all involved in that. But I went all the way through. As a teenager and involved, but I really didn't know the Lord. I knew of the Lord, and then I met my husband, and I became a Catholic, and so then I just took that, moved along with that, but it was quite some time, and then we got married, but we went same thing when we went on a marriage encounter, and I met God the Father on that week, and it was supposed to be for about marriage. Well, I met the Father, and anyway, through that, we both went to a Catholic Curcio, which was a weekend that should draw you closer to God. And I had an experience with the Lord on that weekend, and it changed my life completely. And I saw him in a vision. And I was weeping and weeping and weeping. I went to the priest the next day, and I said, it rained so hard last night, I couldn't even hear anything. He said, it didn't rain. Anyway, it was me. It was raining. It was coming out of me. Anyway, I mean, that was in 1973, and all he has done is kept me. I could go into a million different small testimonies even this week, but they're just part of who God is and what he does in our lives. Faithful.
Hallelujah. You know, one of the biggest mistakes the Catholic Church ever made back in the early 70s was starting these marriage encounter weekends and these casino weekends. Droves of people left the Catholic Church to come to churches like this because we had never been allowed to even open a Bible to read it. That was only the priest's duty. We were not responsible enough to be able to do that. But once we went on these, actually, we never even went on one. But my whole family did. We thought they were nuts. And they went on these weekends, and they wasn't getting Bibles and buying Bibles and reading scripture and everything. We're not supposed to do that. And that's where probably many of these churches like this began. Most of them coming out of the Catholic Church. Amen? Someone else. Joanne.
I've been coming here for 33 years, probably, and I bet you not one person in here knows my testimony. Right? Does anybody know that knows me all those years? Right? Okay, so I wasn't the alcoholic or the drug addict or anything that I had to change my life around, but I was the daughter of an alcoholic. I was the wife two times of two alcoholics. I am the mother of an alcoholic. And was very, very affected by alcoholism. My mother had nine brothers and sisters, nine alcoholics. Okay, so I came from a very large family of dysfunction, very affected, and I was very attracted, didn't know I was, but very attracted to people with the same dysfunction. So again, I was married two times, both picked alcoholics both time, and became very emotionally depressed and ill. And my mother-in-law brought me to a program, a family program, that taught the principles of God, okay, which made me thirsty and made me look for something better. I needed healing. And I found healing in that program, and I found a hunger and a thirst for the Lord. And I went church hopping, and I came to this church, and I knew when I walked in here, this was the place where I was to be. And it's just been a progression from that time. So it's been over 30 years. And the Lord used my pain of everything that I went through growing up and my relationships. He used that and turned it around, where I became a counselor for addiction, for people with addictions. And I did that for over 30 years, and I'm happy to say I am finally retired from that. But God used what the devil meant for harm and turned it around into good. Amen. And I give him all the glory. And just one quick last thing. My second husband was coming down the street. I haven't seen him in 12 years more, probably more. And he was coming down the street the other day, and I'm out in the front yard, and I was doing a little bit of raking, and he saw me, and he stopped, which I was very surprised at, because he did not so nice things, okay? But to me, it was one thing, but to my children, that was another thing, you know? So, and I thought I forgave him, and time after time again, when something else would happen to one of my children, that the anger and everything would come back up again, and I guess I didn't really fully forgive him. But the Lord gave me an opportunity the other day when he passed by, and he stopped, and I walked up to his car and we talked, and he said, you need anything, he's all about the money. And I said, no, I said, God takes care of me. And he says, oh, you still doing that? I said, yeah. I said, and that one time you were too. And so we talked for a while, and he kept saying, no, there's no proof of that, there's no proof of this. And he went on to say that I love money. And I said, I know you do. And so I talked to him about eternity. And he stopped shaking his head no. And he stopped and he listened this time. Okay. And so God opened that door for me to witness to him. And by the time he left, he wasn't there a long time, but by the time he left, I could see a change in his countenance. And I said to him, so now I did what the Lord required me to do and talk to you, because this, I believe, was a divine meeting right now, a divine appointment, and now it's up to you to take what you just heard and do something about it. And he left in a good spirit. Yeah, so I thank God for that. Yeah.
There's power. There's power in our words. Amen. The words of our testimony. Deb, your hand was up.
Well, my testimony is also not, you know, like I was delivered from anything so terrible, except probably a spirit of religion, which isn't a good thing. And so it was like 1975, and Pastor Diane is my husband's cousin. And she started talking to me about the Lord because their whole family had gotten saved. So they invited me to the same Bible study they went to. And so my eyes were really open to the Word of God. I didn't even have a Bible. You know, I knew all that I learned in Catholic school and all, but I didn't, you know, really know the Word of God, except, you know, what they read, the Gospels, and you know, a little bit that they read there. And so I accepted the Lord, and it was weird because the first study I went to was about a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went up for it. I didn't even really know what it was, but it's like, okay, Lord, whatever you want, I want it. But what happened to me was, like others have said, I knew I was always wanted to know about God and about Jesus. I used to read the books about the saints and all, but it was like Jesus is alive. And that was the difference. Like, I knew about him, now I knew him. So that was the big difference in my life.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, do you got a testimony?
Hold it for me.
Okay. I used to work at the Salvation Army. I ran the stores in Long Island, and I hired quite a lot of people. And I hired this little lady. She was a little Salvadoran lady, and she was so annoying. I was ready to fire her. She kept coming to my office and bring me cookies and cake and flour and talking to me about God, but I was ready to let her go. So one day she comes in and she says, "Tell me about your children." And I said, "Well, I have a daughter who's alcoholic and she's out in the streets so much." And she said, "God can heal her." I said, "What?" She said, "God can heal her." And then she said to me, take me to your home. We'll have lunch with her. Bring her." And she says that when it's time to pray, just get up and hold her hands because she's going to run. So after lunch, she said, "Let's pray, say goodbye." And all that. She said, "Let's pray." So my daughter got up, and she held her hand, and I held her hand. And this lady started praying for her. And my daughter was ready to run until she fell to the floor. And she prayed over her. And it was amazing. It was amazing to see my daughter recover from that. My daughter got up from there. She never touched alcohol again. And the whole family never took another drink. We didn't drink alcohol. And, of course, I gave my life to the Lord right there. And it was awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
The power of the testimony of healing brought you to the Lord. Amen. God works in so many different ways. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God for faithful people like that annoying woman that almost got herself fired. You didn't fire her, did you? Oh, okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody else. Okay. I'm going to get my exercise today. Yes, you are. What's your name?
My name is Deborah Chisholm Punter.
Deborah?
Yes. And I'm a very good friend of Maddie's. I didn't know I was going to... She said it started at 11. I'm going to get into the testimony. I just have to say this.
Sure.
She said it started at 11, but 11 o'clock, my body wasn't ready. So anyway, I said, "Wow, it's an hour later." And something kept pushing me, go anyway. So I'm here. That's because I'm going to give my testimony. I thank you so much for the privilege of giving my testimony, because I haven't done it in such a long time. Anyway, what's happened in my life, I grew up with a family that was into the church. My mother was into the church. If I didn't go to church, oh boy, I had to go to Sunday school no matter what. I had to go to Sunday school. So anyway, I went into my own life and married someone that was an atheist, and I wasn't in church anymore. So then after that ended, I went, did other things, and then I went out of the state, went to another state, came back to this state, and I started doing all kinds of things because some of my family were doing these things, going to bars, whatever. And one night, I was in the bar, and I looked at myself in the mirror, because my mother always was a person that if I did anything wrong, she picked that, she took the Bible out and gave me a scripture. So anyway, I looked in the mirror at myself and I said, Debbie, what are you doing here? I looked in the mirror and said, what are you doing here? This is not you. So from that day, that night when I got home, my mother, I told my mom, I'm going to church tomorrow. That was on a Saturday night. And she was so rejoicing. But that's how I went back to the Lord and got more into his.
She spoke to you in the mirror. Yes. Amen. God can do, he uses anything, anything. He knows what will work in your life. Amen.
Back in college, I was feeling like there's something missing. Everything was fun. Everything was nice. Everything was beautiful. But I was feeling something in my heart, so like empty. And one day, my science teacher invited me to a group, church or whatever. I don't know what they call that, but they talk about all the different religions together. That moment, they took one part of the Bible. They didn't use the Bible in that place. Like, they used a book of the leader of the place. But they used a passage. They were talking about God, protection, or something like that. And I felt the Holy Spirit right there. I was crying, and everybody was looking at me like, what happened to her? She's crazy. She's going crazy. And all the people said, like, oh, maybe she lost her father. Maybe this is why she's like that. I was just crying. And I didn't know what was happening. I had no idea. I was just crying. And a co-worker at the end of this meeting, well, in that place, everybody smokes and everything, you know, right there in the cafeteria. So I said to him, what are you doing here, Robert? And he said, and I said, I didn't know you came to this place. And he said, no, I don't. I just came to be with my father so he can come with me to church next Sunday. And by the way, I will invite you to my church. So he invited me, and I forgot about this whole thing. But one day, I had to go and visit my cousin who wasn't in hospital. And I drove by, and then I turned at that moment, and I said, oh, that's the place that Robert invited me. And something said to me, like, stop. And I just stopped in there and went inside. And a lady hugged me with such a much love that I said, I have to come back here. And when I went back, I just met the Lord. I just was like, accept the Lord right there. And I went crazy crying. And I didn't know the same crying, like I was crying. And I went and I hugged my mom and I was kissing everybody. And I was just like crazy. I found something crazy. I don't know what it is. This is how I made them.
Amen. A supernatural joy. God has a way of taking his hand and reaching right down into our chest and grabbing hold of our heart. Oh.
You want mine? I don't know. And mine's a little bit different. First off, I'm a total miracle that I'm even alive. And I will just briefly, drinking heavy-duty drugs day and night, smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, unbelievable, horrible things, anything you can imagine, bulimic from 14 to 46. And I am so incredibly healthy, and thank you, Lord, thank you, and so much, such gratitude toward him. I will say, I grew up with a Lutheran mom and an Orthodox Jewish father. So we went to church. We went to Lutheran church, and I felt love in church, but never felt it at home. There was so much fighting, and every Sunday it was, kids, take your crosses off. We're going to grandma's house. Okay. You know, I thought that was just normal. In any event, there was a lot of perfectionism and horrid things that ended out happening in my family that I really hated myself. By 12, I started taking drugs, drinking, doing all of that. I left the church, and from 15 to 38, totally unchurched, so many times God had his hand on me. God had it because miracles upon miracle. When I first started going back to church, it was a Lutheran church because that's all I knew. But as I started growing and you know, finding out about the Hebraic roots and whatever, I ended up in a born-again church. And I loved this little born-again church. That's where they stuck a flag in my hand that I was so scared of at the beginning. It's like, don't do that. That, you know, that began that particular worship. But the pastors were saying, oh, you have to write your testimony. You have to write your testimony to everybody. They wanted to make a book. And, you know, of when you were saved. And I said, I don't know when I was saved. I really don't. I know that I am, but I don't know when. And they were very angry. You have to know when you were saved. And I said, but I don't. Why? And in their minds, if you don't know when you were saved, then you could lose your salvation. No, that's not going to happen here because God has done too much. But with that, the Lord showed me something. He brought something to my memory. And it's like Annette, when I was about 7 years old and my parents would be fighting and carrying on, I would listen to a little transistor radio under my pillow. And I was listening to Billy Graham. So at that time, he must have gotten a hold of me and just kept his hand on me because he knew that I was going to turn to him and give him all the glory and all the honor. And when you were saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, it's like I say in Hebrew, Todah Robah, which is thank you very much. And that's it. Thank you.
God, hallelujah. You know, God, you hear all the different situations of what people went through. And God allows us to go through sometimes terrible situations, whether it's drug abuse, anything else. It could even be divorce. Okay, so that you can minister to someone else who is going through something similar to that. I mean, we do counseling, and I mean, if someone was to counsel me, I mean, come to me for counsel about their going through a divorce, it would be very hard for me to really counsel. I could give them some scriptural references and maybe what I think, but I can't tell you, I can't share with them what you're going to experience because I haven't been through it. But someone who has can say, look, this is what's going to happen. This is what is happening. I can tell you what happened to me. And so God actually allows us to go through certain situations so that you can be a testimony to somebody else. Amen? Somebody over here had their hand. Oh, Maddie.
Hallelujah. Stop and let me tell you what the good Lord's done for me. Oh, stop and let me tell you what the good Lord's done for me. He healed my body and he saved my soul. Baptized me and he made me whole. Just stop and let me tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I said that to somebody, an intellectual fella in Whole Foods. But that's part of me, you know what I'm saying? A big mouth for Jesus. And I'm very cautious that the flesh doesn't take over. Because there are certain scriptures that help me. What does God require of man? To do justice, love kindness, and be humble. So got to be humble, very careful, because the flesh takes over and it's very subtle. But to begin with my testimony, I'm from Calcutta, India, West Bengal, a pagan nation, and God handpicks us. You know, we all come from different directions of the world. God handpicked me from a pagan country, and I've gone through much, but I praise and thank God. He's so real, and he's so genuine. And talking about Billy Graham, there were so much stages of my life, and God took care of all the stages of my life. and he's so mindful of our personality. He even deals with our kind of personality, sometimes very stern and sometimes very gentle. Our God is so perfect. And I was fascinated with nature when I was in boarding school. I don't know why, I just loved nature. I would lie on the in the lawn and look at the trees and imagine mountains. And there were no mountains, but the trees formation was like mountains. So I imagined mountains and the birds and all that stuff. And somebody from England came to the boarding school and accepted the Lord. I didn't understand born again and Jesus coming to your heart, but I just accepted him. Because deep down there was insecurity and I wanted truth. I just wanted truth. And God took care of that because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And as the stages went on, we went to the Billy Graham meeting when I left school. And I told my sister, come along with me. And she says, no, what about the people? I said, who cares about the people? It's just you and God. But anyway, to cut a long story short, he has brought me thus far. He's never left me. He's so good. He's so kind and compassionate. And when we have the truth in us, be bold and be strong. Speak the truth, you know, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All he's given me is joy and gladness. And there's always a song in my mind, in my soul, and in my spirit. You can ask my daughter. I can get on her nerves from time to time. Because I've got a song for everything. If people will talk about something, there's a song that comes up. It's just natural. It's so natural to serve a living God, loving God who cares. And he's the joy of my life. I love him.
Amen. You accepted him at a Billy Graham, at a Billy Graham thing. Amen. Sister Davy, did you get saved? Hallelujah.
Okay, you know, I'm sitting here, and you said something that when I was growing up, I grew up in the faith. Okay, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
My mom, I was six months old when my mom became a born again Christian, so. When you said, you know, kids that are raised in the church, a little difficult. So I went to church, and I mean, I was in church, and, you know, I thought I was saved. I felt, yeah, I'm okay. I'm here. I'm saved. Until one of the services that I was in, and she came out, the woman that spoke, said, just because your parents are saved and you come into that saved family, that doesn't mean you're saved. I said, oh, wow. So I'm not saved, you know. So I had to make that commitment myself. I had to, you know, go to the Lord and accept the Lord in my life. And I'm just so grateful that I did. Although sometimes, like I used to tell my mom, but I don't have this testimony, you know, this, like you mentioned, the testimony that's going to impact people and do things. And then my Sunday school teacher, she was so precious. She said to me, Diane, she said, just the fact that you've been serving the Lord and in the faith, he's kept you. You're there, you know. So I just thank God. I just thank God for, I mean, I'm being saved. I can't even tell you how long, but it's a long time. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for his faithfulness, his goodness to me. And even though sometimes I get down, you know, sometimes I get a little discouraged, but he's always been there for me, and I'm so grateful, amen, so thankful for him, hallelujah, and that the church is still going on, amen, you know. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. You know the old expression, God has no grandchildren. He doesn't. Just because your parents were saved doesn't mean you. You know, I went to the 8 o'clock Mass every Sunday morning with my father. My father built a Lady of Assumption here in Copaig. We used to go every Monday night to make a novena. I don't even know what a novena is. But I went to make it. Never made one. I think I got to the seventh week. It's 9 weeks of something. I think I got through seven, and we never made it. Sang in the choir. I think I sang in the choir. My father was in the choir. I know my brothers were in the choir. I think I might have sang in the choir. I don't remember anymore, to tell you the truth. But it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything. It was just religion. And, you know, God doesn't come right out and say it in the Word, but he infers that he hates religion. He says, true religion is take care of the widows, the orphans, the destitute, the needy, whatever. It's not about the Pharisees used to wear, the whole get-up and garb and everything. That's not what religion is. Amen. Anyone else? We hardly missed anybody. Praise God. It's so good to hear all these testimonies. Carolyn and Amanda. Okay.
Okay. When I was 18, I was in college, and I met this guy and another girl. Her name is Joan. And they were always smiling and happy. And I didn't know why, but one time I heard them talking about church, that they go to church. And I'm like, wow, you go to church? I didn't even know anybody that went to church. I was the fifth child of a Catholic family, and by the time I came around, they really weren't pushing church anymore. They were actually kind of anti-church at the time, with the Vietnam War and all that stuff, I think. So anyway, one Sunday after I, you know, heard that they went to church, I just woke up and I said, I want to go to church. So I went, and they were talking about forgiveness. And I said, oh, I want to be forgiven. And so I asked God to forgive me. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, really. But after that, I wanted to go to church every week. I just wanted to learn more and hear more. I wanted to hear the homilies. I didn't care about all the other stuff. I just wanted to hear the Word of God. And then I got a little Bible, and I would read on every lunch break. And I just wanted to learn more about God. I mean, it's been a process. I didn't, like, start screaming hallelujah and all that stuff. But I know God woke me up and wanted to just learn more, and just woke me up, I guess.
An awakening. Amen. Oh.
I've been volunteered.
Oh, you've been volunteered?
Yes, Auntie Gladys here, and then Pastor Di. I'm going to start. I grew up in a household of, we went to the mosque. My stepfather was Muslim. My mother was Hindu background. She converted to Islam. And we went to the mosque a lot, and fasted and did all of those things. And somebody had given me somewhere, I don't know where, I think in school or something, a Gideon Bible. And I kept it under my pillow. I hid it under my pillow. And I grew up in a very dysfunctional, very violent household. And I remember just reading the Beatitudes. And then I remember my grandmother praying. She used to pray every morning. She was Hindu. And when she stayed with us, before she drank her tea, she would pray. And she would mention the name of Jesus. And I was like, this is strange, right? I didn't think about it then, but anyway. Her prayer was for me to come to America. She wanted me to leave that dysfunction, and she thought America was a place for me to be. When I was 21 years old, I actually came to America. I married an American man and came to America. And when I was 23 years old, I went to Manhattan College. I had two children, and I was in a bank, and I was attending Manhattan College at the time, and I was in a bank, and somebody invited me to church at Lehman College. I went, I took my husband and my two kids, and it was one of those mega, it was the Church of Christ. It was a mega church. And the reason I said yes to, her name was Crystal, the reason I said yes to going to the church, because I always had that hunger. I didn't know where it came from, but it was from God. And I went and I studied the Bible, and Maddie said, God gives each of us what we need. And I needed that baptism. I was baptized. I studied. I would share my faith with people at the bus stop. I didn't have a car. I would walk up to people and just share my faith. And that came from God, and that's what I needed at the time. So it was a very fundamental church. And then from that church, I came here, I think, in 2001, after going through a lot. So God brought me and kept me. Amen. Amen.
God is faithful, isn't he? Oh, isn't there something how he draws people from, whether it's Hindu, Islam, Catholic? Doesn't matter to him. He's only after souls. He's only after our souls. And he prepares us along the way. I don't know why, as I was listening to that testimony, how little things in our lives. I remember when I was in the Marines a million years ago, and we were forced to go to church on Sunday. Can you imagine that? I remember being down there in Paris Island, and we had to go to church. Well, I was very glad to go to church, not because of the church. I could care less about the church at the time. I was like 21 years old, but it was to get away from the drill instructors and everything. But how even in the, how far we've changed, we learned how to march to glory, glory, hallelujah. And every glory was your left foot, you know, and it was, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. He transfigured you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. These are the things we did. In the middle of that, I learned how to march to glory, hallelujah. The words didn't mean anything, but they were all seeds. They were all seeds that began to work. And he did that in each and every one of you. You probably can't even recall the different things that happened in your lives that prepared you to that moment in time when it was either because of depression or vices or whatever the case may be, or even maybe just like in our case, family pressure. We did it out of family pressure. Let's go to one of their silly Bible studies and get it over with. Amen. I don't want to leave anybody out. If there's anyone else otherwise, Mike, hey. Mike, can't forget about Mike. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. It's very difficult for me to formulate a testimony because I went through what I went through was over a course of a couple of months, and there was a lot of darkness mixed in, and I have to. And if I told you the whole testimony, it would take me 2 hours. But it's about 7 years ago, and I was lost, like we all are before salvation. But I was particularly lost, and I began to experience what I can only describe as an energy around me, and I just. Just got my attention. I can't explain it. Over the course of a couple of weeks, I just started to feel love coming out of me or into me. I was experiencing love, a lot like what Barbara said, an impartation of love. But so I guess my first love truly is love. I don't know the exact moment that I received the Lord, but during this course of time, the enemy came against me particularly hard. I ended up in the hospital, and, you know, the Lord had revealed to me later that I was there's a scripture in Revelation 2:10, I believe, says some of you will be thrown into prison for 10 days by the devil. And the Lord told me I was in prison for 10 days to the minute. It was a very difficult time, but, you know, I was fighting for my life. I hadn't received Jesus yet. And it seemed like I went through this more than one time during this course of this amount of time. But eventually I learned to receive him. I don't know how, probably the internet, because I hadn't gone to church. I grew up in Catholic church until, you know, I was very young, and it was probably about 35 years since I had attended a Catholic church. But so I did start going back to the Catholic church because I didn't really know any better for a couple of months, maybe 2 or 3 months. And I just felt like I didn't belong there. I can't explain it, but I believe the Lord was leading me out of there. I asked him to give me a sign if I didn't belong in the Catholic Church any longer. And he did. He was faithful. He gave me a sign that very day. And that day I looked for non-denominational churches, and the Lord led me here. And, you know, my life, just so much joy, restoration of the so much that the devil had stolen from me throughout my life. So I give Jesus all the glory and the honor, and I thank him with all my heart. I thank him. Amen.
What a powerful God we serve. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I know we were supposed to do a song in between all of this, weren't we?
We did.
How about we end? You got a testimony? My brother. Hallelujah.
When you were talking about your testimony, and I was like, man, I got something similar to him, you know. I feel guilty sometimes, like you said, that people say they want drugs, alcohol, and all these things. And I'm here, like, me and my wife, we talked about it, and we're talking about maybe 10, 12 years ago. This is how everything started. We talking, and we said, you know, there's something missing in our life. We were like neutral. We were doing good things, but we were not doing bad things at the same time. And we started saying, you know what? The kids need to know about the Lord also. We need to get more involved. So I think was her sister-in-law invited her to a church. She's never been to a church before. And I decided to stay home that night. But there was a lot of things going through my mind when she was at church. And to cut the story short, she came home that night, and I was so upset because I didn't know what she was doing. You know, at church, we always do things together everywhere we go. And we got into a big argument, and it was not good. It was not good for our relationship. Then we started going to church, telling them, you know, that what we need is we need to go to church and we need to get to know the Lord better. And then I saw the things that the Lord was working through her, because I was the type of person, if I don't see it, I won't believe it. And she started working through her first, and then I started seeing the changes, how she manifested in her life, you know, different things that she went through. And I'm like, wow, if these things didn't happen to her, I would not believe it. I believe in other people's speaking, so people are speaking in tongues and stuff like that. And I thought that was some ridiculous things that people made up themselves, you know. And I'm like, they just want attention. You know, they just want to be part of the other people. You know, it's just things that were going through my mind. But once I see the things which she was going through, and she was speaking in tongues, and I'm like, man, my wife would not lie. She would not make things up. So I started believing in these things, you know. And sooner or later, I said, Lord, if you've chosen us, let us walk in the same path. I just want a little bit of what she's going through. I want to feel that what she's feeling through, you know, and I want to just be next to her. I want to be part of that experience. So we accepted the Lord, and, you know, he's been good to us. He's been good to us because we saw the, we saw his powerful hand over us and over our family too, over our kids. They got baptized, both of them, and we know that he's got big things for in our family, and he's gonna work through our kids. They're not going to church right now, but that's the whole reason we started coming to this church, because we were going in a Spanish Latin church, and there was something missing there, because the kids started going, then they stopped. It wasn't meant for young kids, and we could understand that because it's not their language. So, you know, we put her on prayer. She's been praying more about this, and she's like, we need something like an American church. Maybe our kids could come with us one day. So this is where we are right now. We are just trying to follow what the Lord has for us, you know. And praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Well, I want you to know we're so glad you're here. We already, I mean, it hasn't been that long, but we already consider you part of the family. We really do. And I hope the day comes when your kids can come here and we'll have a program for them and everything. Amen? Amen. Why don't you close us with something, Rich?
Amen.
Wait. We have communion. Hallelujah. We have communion. Guys, come on down. You get so swept up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'll just take this hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. After you receive the elements, would you stand? Stand with us so we know. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Amen. Albert, I think you missed the Denise over here.
Well, I would say this. It has been my heart, and I made it very well known over the last 3 or 4 years. And there was a time when I asked for testimony in this church, and there were 70, and 2 raised their hands. And I can't tell you how beautiful it is to see what the Lord has done and been doing. And we all see how God weaves fabric together through the testimony of his goodness. And Eric, I want to thank you for your testimony. There is something of an alabaster box quality sometimes to some of our testimonies, and I know it's very difficult to come to that place, but I'll tell you something else, brother. Your testimony and your walk and what I feel is very similar to what happened with Mike and I. And brother, you're here. And I just have a sister. She used to say to me, I see you, Rich. And I began to understand what she meant. And I see you, brother, and we've seen some of each other. That's what testimony will do. So I want to thank the Lord for that. And one day I'm going to share my testimony with you. It's probably the strangest one of all. But it's one that shows that that God plants something and keeps it for many years sometimes to just activate and water that seed. And amen. Well, thank you for it. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise God. Well, you're holding this little piece of matzah in your hand. It's got holes in it. It's got burnt marks in it, stripes. Symbolic. That's what it is. This is not the body of Christ. This is symbolic of his body, which was beaten, was bruised, was pierced, was whipped, was insulted. And when he met with his disciples that night before the whole end process began, and he tried to explain to them that at that point he broke bread. And he explained to them, my body, as this bread is broken before you, my body is about to be broken for you. They really, and I've shared this before, they really didn't know what he was talking about. They thought their king had come, and he was going to restore Jerusalem and Israel and everything back to its authority and power. Little did they know what he was talking about. But the point he was making, because he knew the day would come with shortly within a matter of days that they would know what he was talking about. But the point he was really making that night was, every time you break this bread and you drink this cup, remember what I've done for you. The extent to which I went to buy you back, to bring you back to my Father's house. So when we do this, we're really just doing this in memory, reminding ourselves. And like I've shared with you before, I don't think it's coincidence that he used food, bread, and wine, knowing that every single day we had to eat and drink in order to stay alive. And I've made it a practice of my own that every single meal, every time I break bread and drink, I remember what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. I will always remember that you're the one that's in charge of everything and in control. So as we take this morning, let's truly remember the extent to which our Lord went to buy us back. Let's receive it. Likewise, that night, he took a cup and he raised it up and he said, this cup represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. There's power in the blood. Everything we said this morning was they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb. Because there was power. Power over death. Power over sin. Power over the enemy. He broke the enemy's back when his blood was shed. And the power for forgiveness. Forgiveness. You see, when each and every one of us took that step of faith and accepted him, one of the first things that was done were our sins were forgiven. All our past. All we had done. Or forgotten to do or didn't do was all forgiven because of the power in that blood. And he was telling his disciples that night, every time you drink this, remember what I've done for you and how that power was released. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise God? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your keeping power. Hallelujah. Rich leader.
My Jesus, oh. My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing, power and might.
sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Hallelujah.
One more time. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. The sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Lord, nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Hallelujah. My prayer as we close is that it may have seemed a little difficult to share our testimony this morning, but I pray that the Lord will give you the boldness to take this testimony outside of these walls, in front of the unsaved. That's really who your testimony is for. This was to get us to know each other a little bit, give God the glory and honor and praise for all he's done in our lives and how he's brought us into the kingdom and forgiven us. But now, the word of your testimony is for the unsaved, for your neighbors, for your co-workers, for your children maybe, for your spouse perhaps. That's what the word of our testimony, that's where the power lies into bringing more into the kingdom. Amen? So, Father, I just pray that you would reach down your mighty hand by the power of your Spirit. Let it rest upon each and every one of us here this morning. Myself included, give me and these others the boldness to be able to share our testimony and the truth about your Son, Father, and what he's done and who he is, that they too may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, perform it in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.